passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. I'm here, as always, with Dylan White, the slave of the Robo Scout. Last week, you were the master and you just agreed. So I'm going to flip the relationship there. You are if nothing else, you are a slave to your robot.
I am beholden to RoboScout's whims. What it outputs, I cannot question.
Very good, very good. But we're going to switch it up a little bit this week. I'm just coming back from the Florida Complex League. I was around the Clearwater, Tampa teams, I'll call them. So that means I get to see Tigers, I get to see Phillies, I get to see Blue Jays, and I get to see Yankees. Yankees obviously being the headliner. I did see a couple of first rounders as well. And one pitcher I think we'll talk about a little bit later, who I think has a lot of fantasy value. I ran out and threw a huge bid on him in my 30-team league, ended up winning. Had actually made a trade for Fab with the intention of picking this guy up after seeing him, because I was almost out of Fab in this league. So, We'll get into that guy, but Dylan, I'm going to kind of turn it over to you, and we can talk a little bit about maybe a dozen or so players that I saw this week and some other names, and you can maybe even ask me about some other names that you're interested in on these teams. Maybe I saw them, maybe I did not.
Yeah, great. So how much weight did you lose in the frigid temperatures of Florida? Was it sweltering?
It was. It was about 100 degrees every single day, so... Put that into perspective. It was 100 degrees pretty much with the humidity and everything else. Luckily, I had lots of shade. Phillies have some shade. And the Blue Jays have some shade. So I managed to pull that off, and I doubled up on a couple of days. I saw three Dunedin games. Three Dunedin games Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday.
So why don't we start with my beloved Blue Jays. First round pick, Arjun Namala, power, first Indian born, MLB draftee, in the first round at least, maybe ever. I'm not sure. I can't remember the trivia question. A darling of models because he's so young. And sure enough, even though he has 7 plate appearances, I ran RoboScout today, or rather it ran me, to keep up the same metaphors at the beginning of the podcast. And he has a 90, 17 years old, 7 plate appearances. He has a 90 Robo score, mostly because he has a 212 WRC plus and is only 17. So you saw him. How did he look?
I thought he was really impressive. I think you could even argue of the draftees I saw, Namala was maybe the most impressive bat. Just really easy backspin off the barrel. There's some swing and miss there, but it wasn't like accentuated. It wasn't extreme. It was more that he is not overtly passive. Did take a walk. Like, there's some approach there as well. But he saw strikes, and he hit the ball hard. had one walk in the three at-bats, only played seven innings on Saturday, the one game that he was in. Did see the Blue Jays team three times, but Namala only played once. Did not play in the doubleheader against the Yankees in the previous day. So this is Saturday morning at the Phillies complex. Faced off against a tall right-hander who was an excellent strike thrower, a guy that I brought up to you before the podcast, though I know he doesn't rank all that highly. Daniel Mejia, really projectable body, super thin sinker slider guy. It was a close game, but Namala had a ball that he hit deep into the outfield in this first at bat that, you know, in maybe another park might have snuck out for a homer or something like that, but was at least a well hard hit ball. And then in his second at bat, he hit a double to the wall that I actually thought for a split second was going to be gone. And it hit like the top third of the wall, I'll say, and kind of bounced down. And he sort of strolled into second easily. He had kind of an extra gear too. It was funny. Like he didn't come out of the box all that hot on this and then saw that it was carrying. And like, as soon as he hit first base, it was like he turned in the jets and he moved pretty well. And then he walked in his final at bat, but a couple hard hit balls looked apart. There's a ton of bat speed there. You know, I don't think he's like a freakish athlete or anything like that, but it might be more in like the Jordan Lawler mode maybe a little bit. I don't think he's that loud. Like, I don't think he is going to be Jordan Lawler, but I think it's like a similar bucket of players, if you want to say that, where I think there's going to be some approach there, maybe a few strikeouts, especially early. There's definitely power at the point of contact. You know, defensively, I don't know. Defensively, the arm is fine, pretty good. I might even be plus. You know, I didn't get a ton of throws, so I'm not going to throw out any certainty on what the arm is. The range is okay. It's fine. The actions were a little messy at times. He had a couple balls that he misplayed. He had one that was would have been an easy turn at second, and he bobbled it. Had a couple things like that, you know, I don't know, you know, first time in pro ball, it's all fixable stuff. I know the organization is really high. Somebody within the organization, that had some proximity, to Carlos Correa actually had mentioned that he put a Carlos Correa comp on him. So yeah, I mean, I think that, I get the style of player that he is. He falls into that bucket, where it's not going to be like super crazy twitch explosive athlete, but like he's got a ton of bat speed. He's got power. He's got approach and, you know, should stick in the infield and, you know, maybe he's a better shortstop than I'm selling him as. I saw one game, so I don't want to read too much into it, but I think like there's certain things like power, the way the ball travels off the barrel, things like that, pitches that guys swing at, that stuff jumps out immediately. And Namala had it. He's pretty exciting. I could see being aggressive on him in FYPD.
Would you have him in your top 15? Maybe it's too early for you to know for sure, but do you think he's like a first round FYPD guy?
Yeah, I think so. I think like depending upon how you view Rhett Lauder, you know, that's one guy that I could see like just because from a fantasy perspective, maybe he's not all that exciting, right? You know, that's definitely one guy that he could hop. Trying to think of Dolander, you know, as a Rockies pitcher. I could see him hopping Dolander. You know, I'm not crazy about Jacob Wilson, particularly from a fantasy perspective. Blake Mitchell is a high school catcher. Noble Meyer is a high school pitcher, though it could be a pretty good one. You know, I think I would take him over Jacob Gonzalez. I'd take him over Bryce Eldridge. Probably take him over Enrique Bradfield Jr., Wilkin, you know, Braden Taylor. And then, I mean, then you're at the point in the draft where like he went, like, so it's like him and Chase Davis are guys that I personally would probably take in fantasy ahead of some of these other guys where like, you know, I don't care as much about Enrique Bradfield's speed with the new rules. Probably. I also don't probably care about it. I don't care about his defense. I don't care the fact that he's a 70 defender, plus defender, whatever you want to say, out in center field. That doesn't matter to me. Wilkins more one-dimensional. Not a young shortstop. I'm going to gamble on that. Taylor's great hit tool. There's power. I don't know how much more projection there is there. I just flat out like him more than Jacob Gonzalez. Bryce Eldridge maybe could be a mistake because he's a really talented player, you know, and, you know, somebody that obviously is a two-way guy that's potentially going to pursue that. But yeah, I think either even if you took Eldridge or like Enrique or Wilkin over him, you could probably sneak him into the top 15 if you're dropping out like Mitchell and Lauder and Dolander and maybe Meyer, you know, or like a Jacob Wilson. So like for me, I think he's going to fit in there pretty easily. Yeah.
So how about him or Kyle Teal or Nolan Shanuel? You're sitting on the clock. Pick 12, say.
I'm going to take Kyle Teal.
Okay.
You know, I think Teal's already in high A. He's teaming up with Roman Anthony now, right? We like that. That makes us happy. I think Mr. Chris Clegg was out there this evening to see that team, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I mean, I think Teal is, like, arguable top 10. Because regardless of whether he's a catcher or not, I think he's going to hit enough that he's really, really exciting. He's probably one of the players I'm going to be targeting heaviest in FYPD, which is probably a little wacky, you know, to be honest, because he's a catcher, right? It's usually not what we go after, but he's just such a good athlete, solid player. He actually, so in his high A debut, he went 3-for-5 tonight, Dylan. Game is in the bottom of the eighth. 2 RBIs, a run. He did have 1 strikeout. No extra base hits. It was all singles, it looks like. So
kind of, I saw Clegg, I think, timed his pop time. It was like 1.9 or something like that. So, but we're digressing. We're on a tangent, Jeff. We're here to talk about Florida Complex League looks that you got, but let's do a segue to another FYPD guy against the team that you said the Jays were playing, Philadelphia, Aiden Miller. You saw him. How did he look? 19-year-old. He has more walks and strikeouts. I'll just give the road rundown of what he's done so far. 23 plate appearances, more walks and strikeouts, 21% to 17%, 179 WRC+. His swinging strike rate, which is actually his contact rate, is like 94% in 23 plate appearances. So not too shabby. How did he look once you got your eyes on him?
Yeah, so I saw Miller twice. So I saw him my first day there on Thursday, then I saw him again on Saturday. So I saw him for 3 at-bats on Saturday, and I think I saw him for 5 at-bats on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. So I've seen almost 50% of his plate appearances, is really what I meant to say. So, yeah, he's interesting. So good body, strong guy, right-handed hitter. You know, pretty interesting. There's power there. He made starts at shortstop in both games. I think he probably slides over to third base. He's a bigger guy. I think, you know, not like huge or anything like that, but he's strong, broad shoulders, maybe about 6'2". And you can tell he's going to add maybe 25 pounds of muscle and just be a bigger, stronger guy. Which I think will aid his game. He's a power hitter. He made a fair amount of contact in my looks, didn't get fooled a lot, wasn't a ton of swing and miss. There was some pretty good approach as well. The thing that I noticed about him, and I had a scout mention this to me, is everything he hits is at the opposite field. And he heavily attacked pitches that were on like middle out as opposed to like middle in. So like you talk about a Spencer Torkelson, one of the issues with him, very big middle in hitter, like everything he just tries to get in front of it. You know, he's trying to pull stuff. Whereas the opposite here, where like he doesn't get into his best power because he never pulls anything and he doesn't really turn on anything in the outer half. I think the swing may be a little bit longer. That might be part of it. Path's a little bit longer. It's more conducive for him to hit stuff in the outer half and kind of drive it out to the opposite field. But everything he hit hard, and he had 4 balls in play. I think I posted all of them. Everything went to like middle out. So it was like middle to the opposite field. Like he really didn't, you know, he didn't pull a single ball over 2 games. I wonder if that might be a bit of an issue. It's another fixable thing. but just one of these things that just to bring it up. But I do think that he's a guy that I would gamble on in FYPD in terms of he might fall into your second round if you're in a deeper league, really late in the first round. And I think he has some more upside than, you know, some of the guys that you're going to see in this range. I might take a gamble on him, frankly, you know. There's certainly some, you know, there's a debate for him, Dylan Head, you know, George Lombard, Ralphie Velasquez, Colt Emerson, of course. But, you know, I do think depending upon what your style of player is, and if, you know, maybe you got another one of these shortstops and with another pick, I could see, you know, Adam Miller being a guy that you grab. And I don't think he has a ton of hype at this point, but like I said, there's a hit tool there. There's power. He's going to play a position, even if it's not shortstop. Yeah, it's not bad. You know, late first rounder, it's not a bad pick. Guys in that range pop all the time. It wouldn't shock me.
A name I noticed you didn't list when you were naming some of those guys, George Lombard, et cetera, was Kevin McGonigal, another draftee, Detroit. He has 9 plate appearances so far. He has 11% walk rate, 11% strikeout rate, a 205 WRC plus, another strong showing right out of the bat, 18 years old, not as big as these guys that we've talked about, Namala and Adam Miller, from my understanding. How did he look?
Interesting. He's small. he's not very tall. He's maybe 5. He might be listed at 5'9". I would bet he might be 5'7". Yeah. Strong though. Like he's like a tree stump, like broad shoulders, pretty strong. There's bat speed there. There's definitely barrel control. I saw his first professional hit. He had another ball that he hit, to the outfield, for an F9, I think that was, much better contact. He had like a infield single to the second baseman that he legged out. I think I posted it. You can see it. You know, he got up there. It's probably above average run. Hustle player, was pretty good at second. No real major issues there. Not going to be like a standout defender or anything, but I think he can play the position fine. Maybe the arms definitely stretch it short. You know, and I think he's going to hit. Like, it's a ton. Actually, he was at short that day. It's a ton of barrel control. I just think like, it's compact, it's short, he can hit. Is there like huge upside? Like, definitely not. He's not somebody that's going to, you know, hit 30 home runs. He's not going to steal 20 bases. You know, he's probably not going to hit in the middle of the order. But I think he could be like a really good, like number two, maybe even a leadoff hitter that like gets on base, hits, scores runs, has like enough power and enough speed to kind of fill up a variety of categories. I liked him. I didn't think he was bad at all. Like I said, not the biggest guy, but I think when you're talking about like a second baseman, you know, that can hit, bat first guy, yeah, give me him. And I saw another one. I'll just lead in here. I saw Rock Riggio, who's a little small, like not a huge guy, not super tall. He's taller than McGonigal. Really strong college player, of course, played at Oklahoma State, had a great season there. You know, I think I like McGonigal better. I think there is more upside there with McGonigal than there is with Riggio. And that might be silly. I think that like Riggio probably might be a better athlete than McGonigal is. He's a little bit bigger, but I like McGonigal's swing more. You know, they're both left-handed hitters, second baseman. I like McGonigal's swing more, and that's why I went higher in the draft and was more highly touted. And I think he will hit. So he's another guy that, like, if you get him in your second round or maybe even third round or fourth, depending upon size of league that you're in and style, he's not a bad grab. Like, I think he's going to be a pretty good fantasy asset and could be a guy that hits, like, in the A levels next year really, really early and is, like, really productive. You know, I wouldn't even shock me if he sees Lakeland at some point this summer, later in the year, September. Yeah, he could maybe see, like, 5 to 10 games there. Wouldn't shock me.
So I'm going to go off script to another Tiger that we didn't talk about earlier, but I know you sent me a photo of him. He's taller than Kevin McGonigal. That's Josue Briseno, the Detroit Tiger catcher, who's like 6'4", 6'5", something like that. I'll read off some of his stats to give you some time to compose yourself and think of what you want to say.
No, I know.
He's been at the top of the complex rankings for a long time. 147 WRC plus on the year, over 160 plate appearances. Basically, same walks and strikeouts. 215 ISO. His Statcast data looks good too. He's got over an 80% contact rate. His 90th percentile exit velocity is over 102. 10% barrels, looking good. The caveat being, of course, he's a catcher. But you saw him. How did he look?
Okay. He is not going to catch long term. I think he's a first baseman DH. He's a big boy, really strong. His swing is very bare bones. It's very upright. Doesn't get into his lower half a ton. He's got a ton of strength and leverage. Very physically mature. I don't know. I don't know with this one. I think there is absolutely probably easy above average, maybe even plus power, maybe more than that. You see the exit velocity data. So, it's right there. And he has feel to hit. I don't know if there's enough bat speed necessarily. That's something I'm a little bit worried about, but I could be proven wrong with that potentially. I don't have numbers in front of me, but just from the eye test kind of a deal. He's awful behind the plate. I don't think he'll even catch in like a ball. Like it's that bad. He was swimming back there, man. Yeah. He was drowning. I don't really know. I don't really know with him. But maybe it's like first base DH with a ton of power and, the contact skills play up. It's an ugly looking setup and swing. And so I don't want to get caught up in the aesthetics of that because we know that the data is pretty good. So it's like data over aesthetics, performance over aesthetics, like it's just going to work kind of deal. But I don't know. He's one that I'm going to watch closely. I'm not as sold on him.
I mean, I think what you're talking about is fantastic information. It speaks to the philosophy we're trying to imbue in our discussions and all that about marrying the data with the eye test. So it just kind of speaks to not, blindly saying, oh, Josue Briseño is at the top of the list, so I'm going to grab him. It's like, what's the context? Is he going to stick behind the plate? Is there going to be defensive pressures, et cetera? What will the plans be for the big league club? How does the setup look, et cetera? So.
Yeah. And I was going to say, we're at 20 minutes. So why don't we take a quick break and we'll come right back. What do you say, Dylan?
I think it sounds great.
All right, let's do it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back. And we're talking FCL. I saw the time and we always forget to do ad breaks. I'm like, I must remember to do an ad break. I had a stopwatch tied around my finger to remember it. So there you go.
So let's go to the stacked Yankees team now.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk about all these guys, and Manuel Tejeda, Keynor Delgado, Hans Montero. I know we talked about John Cruz, who I personally like. You said he was injured. You didn't get a chance to see him. He came back today. So we won't be able to talk about him, but let's talk about that Yankee team. And then we'll segue over to the pitchers, because I'm a professional segwayer. So let's start with Emmanuel Tejeda, 18-year-old, 170 plate appearances, also has been near the top of RoboScout for a while. He has 20 stolen bases, only 5 caught stealing. He has 3 home runs, not the most in the world, but 155 WRC plus, 141 ISO, over 20% walk rate. The StatCast data, he's got good contact. His exit velocities aren't the greatest, which kind of speaks to the only 3 home runs on the season. The barrel rate's low as well. What did you see in Emmanuel Tejeda?
Yeah, just a super skilled player. Great approach on base ability. There's bat to ball skills there. I really like the swing. There's bat speed. I think he's a projectable guy. Probably 5'9 to 5'11. But I would say like 170, 180. Like he probably has another 20, 25 pounds he could add. I think that the home runs will start to come. A comp that I had gotten recently, a funny prospect to prospect comp, was that Tejeda is not all that different from Oswald Peraza. That like Peraza has like the advanced approach, and you know they eventually taught him to hit for power, and he's a pretty good defender and runs pretty well. And I think that that's what you're getting with Tejeda. Some people love him, you know. I think Roderick Arias is the guy from this team. Like of all the guys in this team, I didn't see him. He's obviously hurt. But I think he's the name that sticks out. And I've heard that, you know, it's kind of your pick between Tejeda or Delgado, in terms of who you like. And then I think Cruz kind of settles in behind those guys. And there's others too. I mean, this is a pretty stacked team to the point that I saw like almost 2 different lineups and they had guys in both of them. But yeah, I think that Emmanuel Tejeda is definitely going to be eventually a top 100 prospect. Yeah, I think he'll be like a back end of the top 100 type of prospect. He just does a lot of things well. And, you know, I think we see when there's approach like this with production and it's not just all ground balls, right, to the pull side, those guys typically jump up pretty hard, you know? Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he made like, you know, he became an Adel Amador type of guy too. You know, it kind of falls to that range, maybe a little bit better defensively than Amador is. But yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely a guy. He's definitely a guy you want to have him rostered, I would say. In leagues that have 200 to 250 prospects, he's probably perfect. Maybe like 150 might be a little bit too shallow for him. But he's fringy there. Maybe I would, you know, it depends if you like the upside. You want to play the upside card, then go for it. But yeah, just because of the proximity, it's so far away, it's tough to own those guys, roster those guys in a 150 or shallower, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. But that's good. I didn't realize the ceiling was so high. So let's talk about Keynor Delgado. He was popping last year in the DSL, but he was 18 years old. So I was a bit cautious. He's now 19 because it's a year later, and he's in the Florida Complex League. He is got numbers very similar to Tejeda. He's got 5 home runs, 24 stolen bases. Number of walks is basically the same as number of strikeouts, 13% each, 123 WRC plus, so a little lower than Tejeda. And he's, like I said, a year older than Tejeda. He gets love in some circles, and he also doesn't get love in some circles. Where do you fall?
I liked him a lot. I think he's a pretty impressive athlete. Really explosive. That's one of the reasons he's stealing as many bases as he has. I want to go back and look at my film here for a second, because his listed height and weight looks way off. You know, from what I had seen, I didn't think he was that small. Yeah. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but maybe that's right. I don't know. It has him listed at 5'7", 145. I think he weighs more than 145. But you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty big swing. Like, you know, he definitely tries to, you know, swing out of his shoes, but doesn't strike out a lot. It's good contact. Like I said, he's an explosive athlete. There's a ton of bat speed there. And I like the swing. Like, you know, he's looking to do damage and he's still making contact. Switch hitter as well. So he's a really interesting player. I think Connor Delgado is another guy that kind of falls into that, you know, 200 to 250 type of guy. I think these guys are going to pop. I think these are two guys and Arias that are going to blow up. I think the Yankees are sitting on a couple of diamonds right now and on that FCL team.
So let's talk about the last one that you did see, Hans Montero. Another guy with the same amount of walks as strikeouts, has got a WOBA in the low 400s. He's got double-digit steals and only four home runs at WRC plus of 131. So very similar on the surface numbers to Tejeda and Delgado. What did you see with Hans Montero?
Yeah, so Montero is, and you can check out some video. I think I have some pretty good swings up of old Hans. You know, he's the guy who I probably had the most question marks on. I mean, it is a pretty steep attack angle on his swing. You know, but he hits some, I mean, he hits the ball pretty hard and gets the ball in the air, you know, a fair amount. You know, I'm looking at the fly ball rate. I'm shocked that his ground ball rate at Complex this year is 45%, because I felt like across two games, like everything he hit was in the air. You know, pretty good approach, though. You know, he can run a little bit, still not as explosive, you know, as Delgado is, and not as much skill, I don't think, as Tejada has. But still another pretty good player. I think he maybe falls in a level below those guys, just in terms of how I would, you know, value him.
That's funny. I'm looking at the three. I have them all kind of pulled up in front of me, their numbers, and they all have like ground ball rates that are very similar. 44.6%, 46%, 45%. All their contact rates are all red. They're all above average. And all their 90th percentile exit velocities are slightly blue, just below average. It's very similar, like, profiles for all three of these guys. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Before we talk about a teammate of theirs who throws the ball from the pitcher's mound, is there anyone else you want to talk about on the hitter side, the FCL, someone like Sam Shaw or Raylan Heredia?
Yeah, let's throw out three sleepers here, two from the Phillies, one from the Blue Jays. And Sam Shaw is one guy I wanted to bring up. He is pretty interesting to me. So believe that he is a Canadian draftee, and I got to double check on the round right now, but Jays got him, I think, with an overslot deal. Give me 2 seconds just to confirm what round it was. It was in the ninth, and yeah, he got a little bit under. He got $282,500. That is more than $100,000 above slot there. He is from British Columbia, Lambrick Park. Beautiful Lambrick Park. I'm sure you've been out there many times. But left-handed bat, tons of hitting ability. Like, I think there's, like, barrel control, contact, approach is pretty good. There's not a ton of impact, frankly. But I think he could maybe even grow into it. Just, like, the shoulders, everything, like, but it's like a really advanced hit tool guy. We know we like those guys. The models like those guys. They perform pretty well early on. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put like a huge ceiling on Sam Shaw, but he's definitely somebody that I would be going after for sure.
What position does he play?
I think he was playing second baseman.
He has in seven plate appearances as of yesterday. No strikeouts, no swing and misses yet, but also no walks. 119 WRC plus, so
yeah,
not a bad little start. Seven plate appearances, no strikeouts.
Yeah, I think he's a really interesting player. The other one I was going to mention is Raylan Heredia, who was playing in the outfield. I think they played both games where I saw him with that FCL Phillies team. I think he played over in right field. You know, kind of an average body, definitely projectable right-handed hitter. Kind of like an unusual, like, toe plant, like, in terms of his setup. But he sees the ball really well, walks pretty at a high rate, hits the ball, you know, fairly hard. He's got four homers, seven steals. He's got, you know, 340. He's hitting 341, 429, 561 over 154 plate appearances in the complex. You know, there's some power. There's on base ability there. There's definitely a little bit of swing and miss. And he's kind of twitchy. He's a good base runner. I swear to God, like every time he got on base, he walked a ton when I was there. And every time he got on base, I swear to God, he'd be over in third. Just, you know, stealing bases, moving along, like definitely a good base runner. Interesting player, you know, interesting overall player. Could probably play some center field as well, play some right field, could play, you know, all three outfield positions. Typically you can play center, you can play all three, but you know, anyway. So he was an interesting guy that I had the name on my pref list. I wasn't terribly familiar with him. And I think he's pretty good. There is definitely some swing and miss, some strikeout stuff there, but it's kind of just below danger zone territory, you know. But there might be an issue next year with some whiff, but he's at least an interesting player there on the complex that I saw and was hitting leadoff for that Phillies team every game. So that was kind of interesting. And then another guy here that I'm going to mention from the Phillies, he was actually their ninth rounder this year out of Southern Illinois University. And he is a big guy by the name of Avery Owusu-Asiedu. I might have butchered that last part of it, but it is O-W-U-S-U. So I think that is Owusu. And the last name, it's a hyphen A-S-I-E-D-U. So Asiedu is what I'm going to say, is Owusu-Asiedu, Avery Owusu-Asiedu. He's 6'4", 230. Man, he looks like he should play tight end in the NFL. And he had a great year at Southern Illinois. Obviously, a very smaller, you know, mid-major conference. But he hits the ball really hard. You can check out some of the swings I posted. You know, bigger, right-handed hitter. Played center field. I think he's actually a Canadian as well. So we're getting a lot of Canadians in here just for you, Dylan. He's a little bit under slot, actually, in the ninth round. But he's really interesting, and he's somebody that I had some Phillies brass that were kind of kicking around that day, and he was a guy that they pointed out as someone they're really excited about. And I think there's a good reason to be. Great body. Looks like somebody that has power. He's athletic. And this might have been like a smaller school steal. So we'll see. You know, I think he is a very interesting player. Check out Avery Owusu-Asiedu.
I'm looking at the video you posted. That swing is just, he looks like the ball just flies off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, he's very strong.
Very nice. Very nice.
Real man strength. So yeah, those are the hitters that I'll bring up. I don't have any other names.
Well, that means we have to talk about pitchers then. So let's talk about Henry Lalanne, I'm going to say. Maybe it's Lalanne if he's French.
No, I think it's Lalanne. He's actually originally from Brooklyn. His father played Division I basketball in the States. His sister is a national JUCO All-American in volleyball. So I think he is American, like Ethan Salas is, but was an international signee, or who's the guy from the Guardians that I'm totally drawing?
George Valera.
Yes, and George Valera, another one that was, you know, an American that signed there, or Alex Reyes. So he's one of those. He is 6'8", left-hander. He sat 93 to 96 miles an hour, touched 97, 98 miles an hour. It's great shape, so he's getting ride and run, so he's got heavy bore, just like you like it. Mixing a changeup, which I think some scouts think is his best secondary. Then he's got, you know, a slurvy slider at like 79 to like 77 with kind of two plane break. He threw a ton of strikes. I think he struck out 8 batters over 3 innings, had a little rough patch in the beginning, and then he locked in and was throwing strikes. You can watch the video. It's loud, dude. It is legitimately loud stuff. And I got a great camera angle on his start too. So you can go and watch it. That's all I'll say. I went out. This is the guy that I went out. I traded for Fab, and I went out and I bid a bunch of that Fab on him because I wanted to make sure that I have him on my roster. It's a big, tall, hard thrower from the left side, and he's got the makings of 3 pitches, and he's already got a plus fastball. It's dirty. Yeah, this guy was very loud. I didn't expect him to be that loud. And then I saw it and I was like, oh my God. Holy crap. This is a guy that's going to be in a top 100 sometime. Yeah.
And when you're that big, but you're that athletic, especially with the bloodlines you're iterating earlier, it's impressive to have that level of athleticism with that, you know, that big levers and be able to control your body that well. So yeah, he has a 5% walk rate over 14 innings. He has 38.5% swing strike rate as posted on Fangraphs. I talked about him in the RoboScout article. He's like a top six pitcher, something like that already at the complex, even though he's only thrown 14 innings. He was a helium guy in the hot sheet a couple weeks ago. Henry Lalanne, a guy you should go out and grab before it's too late.
BA was on him, like Ryan Clifford, baby. It's so funny to see Clifford blow up, and I was like, we were talking about this guy early. Yeah, I would love that. And I got one other pitcher that I saw that was pretty interesting, a Jays guy for you. Nolan Perry, a right-hander, really good breaking ball, low 90s fastball with pretty good shape. He went five innings. I think he struck out seven. I think they were scoreless five innings, so he looked really good. I was impressed. I was very impressed by Nolan Perry. I thought there was, you know, some legit stuff there. I don't know if he ends up in the bullpen long term, but looks like he's got some starter traits and, you know, should probably be it. I would say he'll be in the rotation at low A, Dunedin, to probably start next season. You want to talk about the last pitcher that I saw?
Yeah, why not?
The big Blue Jays pitcher, the one everybody wants to probably talk about.
Yeah, we might as well. We should. Go ahead. Fernando Perez.
Ricky Tiedemann.
Oh.
Ricky Tiedemann. I saw Ricky Tiedemann, I would presume, his last low A start. I think he's going to be up in Double A this week, but I haven't gotten that confirmed. I would assume he's pitching in New Hampshire on Friday. That is my guess. I don't actually have any information behind that. I'm just guessing. He dominated. This is the best I've ever seen him, and he always pitches three innings and under 60 pitches when I see him because that's always what he does. He was like 96 to 97 for three innings. Nobody could touch him. The slider was great. The changeup was great. He was getting his best break on it. He was landing everything and just overwhelming these low A hitters from Fort Myers. They couldn't touch it. So he struck out 9 of the 10 batters that he saw. He gave up one hit, and I think it was a two-strike count, and a guy kind of just threw his barrel at it and hit it to the opposite field, and it snuck through the 3-4 hole, if I'm remembering correctly. It was like a nothing hit, you know. He looked great. I mean, I guess, you know, the whole thing with him is, can he throw 5 or 6 innings? If he can throw 80 to 100 pitches for 2 months straight, I think that I'd be all in on Ricky Tiedemann as the best pitching prospect in baseball. But, dude, like, he still doesn't throw that much, and that is a concern. I can't go all in until I see a guy throw 80 to 100 pitches consistently for months. Even if it's 70 pitches, did 85 pitches. Even Grayson Rodriguez, who his baby, did that. He went 5 innings consistently over the last 2 or 3 years, you know? So I need to see that from him. And once Ricky starts going 5 to 6 and he holds it that second time through the order, I'm going to be all in. That's my one concern. Because the stuff-wise, and I had this conversation on a top 100 meeting today, stuff-wise, he's as good as anybody. You know?
Wow. Yeah, I guess 9 strikeouts in 3 innings is pretty good information on that he's going to get promoted. So that's great to hear. As a Blue Jay fan, I love to A, hear the good news, B, end the podcast on a Blue Jay. Full circle, bookending it perfectly. Any final thoughts before we break?
No, that was it was a wonderful, wonderful week. You know, was down there with my buddy Dan Fu, if you know him from some of the dynasty leagues. He's a big player, and it was a great time. And I want to get down to the complex as much as I possibly can. If I could live there and just see complex league games, I mean, you'd see so many players come through. It's unbelievable.
Great. Awesome. But it's great to have you back.
Thank you. So. Great to be back. Well, all right. We'll wrap it up then, Dylan. It's in the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. He's Dylan White. I'm Jeff Ponce, and you're listening to us. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.